something other, like some other major thing happened on the Hawaii trip, which kind of makes it pretty awesome.
I know. I definitely am. So yeah, my fiance actually proposed in the RV rental. We met through working at RV Share. And so RVing and getting engaged in an RV is very on brand for us, I'd say. So.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are the authors of Where Should We Camp Next? Where Should We Camp Next? National Parks. And Where Should We Camp Next? Budget Camping.
This year, we are celebrating the 10th anniversary of the RV Atlas podcast.
We hope you join us as we cover the best campgrounds, the best RVs, the best food, and the best gear to bring with you when you go.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today, I'm so excited to have on the show for the very first time, Maddie Bourgeret from RV Share. This is a fascinating interview about all aspects of renting an RV. So she's going to give us tips for renting RVs from owners and what you should think about and how to figure out what type of RV you should rent for a trip for your family. And she's also going to talk about tips for people that might want to rent their own RVs. But at the heart of the interview, Maddie's going to talk about some of the epic RV trips that she has gone on using rentals from RV Share. And she's used rentals in a bunch of different circumstances for a bunch of different types of trips. And that's what we're going to spend so much time talking about, because it's just so cool to see all of the options for using an RV rental. Even if you actually own your own RV, you might want to do this. So Maddie rented a camper van in Hawaii and had an amazing trip there. She rented a Winnebago to see Yellowstone National Park and Grand Teton National Park. She also did Big Bend and rented an Airstream because she always has dreamed of owning an Airstream or trying out an Airstream. She had an awesome trip to Big Bend. She also rented an RV for a family reunion and had the RV dropped off on her family's property. And that worked out incredibly, incredibly well. And then she also has used a motorhome rental to go to the Stagecoach Music Festival. And she's also had RVs dropped off in a variety of locations. So she's kind of done it all when it comes to renting RVs. And I think it'll inspire some of you to think of some use cases in which you might want to rent an RV, even if you do own an RV. Because guess what? I want to go to Hawaii. I'm not taking my Grand Design Imagine to Hawaii. That's just not going to work. So lots of different interesting ways to rent an RV and different types of trips you can take renting an RV, even if you are an owner. And Stephanie and I have done this so many times over the years. We've rented RVs for Disney World. We rented a Class B van and went to Vermont last summer. It's also just really fun to get to try all kinds of different RVs like Maddie has done. And I also want to remind everybody, we do have a discount code for RV Share. So if you use RV Atlas 30, you will get $30 off a rental of $500 or more. And we're going to come back and talk to Maddie. This is a really, really interesting episode about all aspects of renting RVs. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Spacious Skies Campgrounds. Take your indoors outdoors with Spacious Skies Campgrounds, a collection of 15 campgrounds and RV parks spanning the eastern United States. Each location is unique, but all offer the perfect escape to the great outdoors. Whether you are looking for a relaxing weekend getaway, a full week's vacation, or a beautiful seasonal site, we welcome and invite all campers to camp on with Spacious Skies Campgrounds. Choose from RV sites, cabins, yurts, retro RV rentals, or tent sites, and enjoy on-site amenities that offer convenience, creature comforts, and fun. Also, make sure to check out Spacious Skies Campground's Cosmic Camper Loyalty Program for 12% off all reservations and exclusive deals. Whether you are a lifelong camper or new to nature, plan your next outdoor adventure with Spacious Skies Campgrounds. Visit them at spaciousskiescampgrounds.com for more information and easy online booking. That's spaciousskiescampgrounds.com. Hello, Maddie, and welcome to the RV Atlas for the very first time. How are you?
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I'm super excited to have you on the show. When I saw your notes yesterday, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be such a fun conversation. We're going to talk all kinds of tips for RV rentals but we're talking with somebody who not only works at RV Share, but you've rented 20 RVs and you've had like every possible type of experience, which we'll get into that. But it's your first time on the show. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do and where you're from and all that good stuff.
Sure. Super excited to be here. Really love your guys' podcast and what you do in the industry. So I've been working at RV Share for 5 years. I've worked in the travel industry for more than a decade at this point and fell into RV Share through the way of like vacation rentals and really learning and being part of marketplaces. So when RV Share came across my desk and it was an opportunity to bring RV travel to the greater travel industry, I thought it was a really cool opportunity. So at RV Share, we connect RV owners with RV travelers and people looking to rent without having to own to still have an RV experience. So I thought it was an awesome way. And I joined back in 2019. And quickly thereafter, as we all know, the pandemic hit in 2020, and RV Share really took a front seat in the travel industry, being a place for people to turn to and still travel during that time. So we really got to accelerate our growth. And I think we've just seen so many new people enter the RV industry since then. And I would like to say RV Share has something to do with that, because a lot of people have been able to rent RVs and do try before you buy and then eventually buy their own possibly. So RV rentals is a great gateway entry into the RV industry.
And it's like in your 5 years then, starting, you know, pre-pandemic and now, you know, coming out of the pandemic, it's become a more mainstream vacation option, right? I mean, there was always the traditional RV rental companies, which is, you know, somewhat of a niche category, maybe something that even like Europeans were using a lot more coming over here and renting an RV. But the idea of that like peer-to-peer RV rental has definitely entered the mainstream of travel as an option for a family vacation, right? I mean, have you seen that sort of unfold over the last 5 years?
Yeah, certainly. I think it's definitely become more of a mainstream travel option. I think, again, like because vacation rentals came on the market 20 years ago at this point, people got used to the idea of the sharing economy and sharing different parts of their lives, including their homes. It did naturally become a part of, oh, let's try this out with RVs. And that's where that idea came from. And I think people are now getting more comfortable with that. The overall sophistication of RV peer-to-peer rentals has grown so much, where there's, you know, built-in insurance and, you know, safety and verification processes. And then also become more mainstream, and people are turning towards it to be able to try a bunch of different RVs and test them out, whether they're potentially going to buy or they're just looking to travel in an RV on a more regular basis without having the overhead of owning their own.
What surprised me or impressed me, because Stephanie and I and our family, I've done 3 or 4 rentals at this point, is that the people renting them are also, for many of them, it is a business, and they treat it as such. And I mean that in a good way, that it's sort of professionalized. It's not like you're, you know, showing up and just grabbing somebody's RV from the side of their house. I mean, they, a lot of them really operate it like a small family-owned business. And that's been a really cool part of the experience too, is seeing that the renter is getting pretty sophisticated with it, and some people even having several RVs that they rent, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a big part of it, is it's just becoming more professionalized, and hospitality is at the forefront of these people's businesses. It definitely did start out as, you know, and there are still many people who are just like, I'm going to rent out my RV when I'm not using it and make some extra income. But I've found that their success like just quadruples when you do put that extra special hospitality touch in that and are being extremely accommodating to your renters, you know, whether that's making sure the bed's made and linens are provided and maybe there's even some, you know, shampoo and conditioner in the shower, and really treating it almost like it is like a vacation rental experience or a hotel experience. And that's where that sophistication has come in, and more people have turned towards it because it is an amazing experience, and RV travel just provides something so unique that a different type of accommodation just can't do today.
And the RV Share app is so easy to use. Like it is just like when we last summer when we did the RV Share rental to Vermont, it's like nothing's buried behind menus. Everything's just right there. The communication between like you and the person renting the RV was, it was all very seamless. I mean, it really was. I truly mean that. Now, you have a cool job at RV Share, so I'm not going to let you, and we're not going to move on until you tell everybody. So what specifically are you doing there?
Yeah, so I've earned the title of RV Travel Expert at RV Share. I also am part of the marketing leadership and run a team, a brand team and communications team at RV Share. But yeah, the travel expert part came in because I just really fell in love with RV travel. I wasn't a big RVer. I think maybe did it once before I worked at RV Share. But now I've done over 20 RV rentals and have had many different experiences and have loved to talk about and share those stories. And so through that, I've just started to be a spokesperson for RV Share and getting on like morning shows and different podcasts like this to just talk about the RV rental life.
I totally get the sense from your notes here that you really love all these different experiences you've had. I mean, we're going to get into this, but you've had some amazing experiences renting RVs. And it's not like, I doubt they've like made you rent RVs 20 times for your job. Like, it sounds like this is just like how you're vacationing now, right? Most of the time.
No, totally. Yeah. So luckily RV Share provides this amazing opportunity where you get a yearly stipend, and it's obviously not mandatory to use, but I use every dollar because if you're going to send me on a free vacation, sign me up. And so I use that, multiple times a year to try out different types of RVs and have these different experiences. I'm also am fortunate enough to like within my job, you know, we take press or influencers or different industry types out on trips to try out the product. And I've been able to kind of tag along for those. And that's how my experiences have also added up. So some of it is just like through work as well. But my personal travel, I do at least two, if not three RV trips. I just got back from one 2 days ago. So,
and we're going to talk about that right now. You did a solar eclipse RV trip. So like, tell me like, how did it go? Were you in the path of totality? Did the clouds mess you up? Like what RV, just give me the whole spiel here. What RV did you rent, et cetera, et cetera.
So we have been thinking about the clip since like last summer is when I first saw kind of our data at RV Share start jumping for April 8th, 2024. And I think it was last May where we're like, what's happening on April 8th? Because there's a lot of traffic and bookings going towards that day. And sure enough, that was like when people started realizing there was a solar eclipse that had this huge path of totality across North America. And so since then, we've been promoting it a lot at work and just getting the word out about renting an RV for such an experience. And then quickly after, I was like, wait, I want to experience it this way too. So we rented an RV, my fiance and I, and we do live in Austin, Texas, which was in the path or right on the edge. I think maybe we were even 98% or 99%, but really wanted to be in that 100% path of totality, which was about 45 minutes or an hour west of us. So we rented RV and knew that we wanted to position ourselves in that path and found a winery. And outside of Texas, there's a Texas hill country that has a lot of wineries and breweries and things like that. And they were hosting an eclipse party and were offering up RV spots. So we took a Class B camper van out there and camped for two nights and saw the eclipse. And we were very nervous because there was some cloudy skies and unfortunate weather predictions, but the clouds did part and we did get to see the eclipse. And it was incredible. Like, it was one of the most amazing experiences. I've been thinking about that day for a while and was just surprised by how truly dark it got and what an amazing experience it was. So I now understand eclipse chasers, and I might be one after seeing my first eclipse.
And how was like the eclipse party part of it? Like, was that fun too? Were you, you know, meeting a lot of other people and everything? Was it a pretty social event?
It was. There was RVers from California coast to Idaho. I mean, people drove 30 hours to be at this event, and they, you know, brought all different types of rigs, and then the winery, you know, had live music and a special eclipse like wine that they had made with this awesome logo on it. So a lot of different mementos that we got to bring home with us. And the group of people there are just so excited to experience the eclipse. You know, some had big cameras set up. This one guy had like a telescope of sorts. So he got to just experience it with everyone else. And I think that excitement added to the overall experience of seeing the eclipse for the first time.
An RV rental, or if you own an RV, so perfect for this event. And I was so impressed by all the different crafty ways that people found their way into the path of totality. I mean, a lot of people did campgrounds. A lot of people did harvest hosts. A lot of people rented space on private land. A lot of people mooch docked in a friend's driveway, you know, and an RV gives you that freedom. So it was sort of like an ideal moment for RVing, I think, in so many ways. So let's kind of, we're going to come back to your adventures in a later segment and a bunch of the cool things you've done with RV rentals. But for anyone out there listening who's, you know, thinking about renting an RV for a first time, I mean, you have a ton of experience here. So give us some tips, like what things should people be considering when they're thinking through like renting an RV for the very first time? And I say that as someone who knows that a lot of RV owners actually rent RVs and find reasons to rent RVs. You know, we've done that for the West Coast. We've done that for Disney, et cetera, et cetera. But there's still a lot to think through when choosing what you're going to rent, because in so many places, there are lots of options with RV share. Like in New Jersey, I've looked around me a bunch of times. I kind of have my pick. You know, I could do Class A, Class B, Class C, travel trailer. So tell us what we should be thinking about when choosing a rental.
You're right. So peer-to-peer RV rental site like RV Share, we have more than 100,000 RVs to choose from across the US and more than 60,000 owners that are offering up those RVs. So I think the cool thing about RV Share is just the variety is just so great. So you can go on and find anything from a teardrop to a Class a fifth wheel. And on top of that, RV Share owners also offer delivery. So in many cases, some people might not want to drive an RV or just need one, like you said, to mooch dock at a friend or family's house or show up at a campground for the weekend. And the owner will actually deliver it for you and set it up. And so you just have to, all you do is show up. And so we use that a lot. We're not afraid to drive it, but we like travel trailers. It provides a bigger space to stay. And a lot of times we'll fly to a destination, fly into Salt Lake, head out to a national park and get it delivered to the campground of our choice so that we don't have to worry about towing it. So there's just so many different options that you can get with RV Share. And the delivery part
has really spiked, right? I mean, you're just seeing a lot more people offering to deliver. And that's, I mean, I would think that that's at an extra fee in almost every case, but that is definitely becoming more and more of an option. So, you know, if you don't want to tow a 40-foot fifth wheel, but you'd like to do Disney World and do Fort Wilderness and stay in a 40-foot fifth wheel, there's a good chance that's going to be an option now, right?
Right. Yes, definitely. Delivery is almost about 40% of our rentals are being delivered. And I think that's just a testament to how convenient it really is and the amount of different options and experiences you can have. I mean, you could have an RV delivered to a football game, to tailgate. You could have an RV delivered to a music festival. Like it just opens up the variety of choice. So it's really a cool experience.
Great. And I'm sorry, I interrupted you before. You had some more wisdom to share, like about other things maybe we should consider when picking a rental.
Yeah, I think some other things to consider is obviously just what type of experience you're looking to have and how many people you need to sleep, like what's best for your group. And on our VShare, you can really take advantage of the different filters that we have based on, you know, what type of amenities you're looking for. If you need the RV to be pet friendly, I mean, RV travel is an amazing way to travel with your pet. And a lot of the RV rentals on RV Share allow pets. And then how far you're going, I think a lot of people don't account for distance traveled, and there are different fees associated with that. There are a minimal amount of listings that provide unlimited miles, but there are a lot are charged, you know, 100 miles after 100 miles per day, there's added fees. So just looking into what that would look like before kind of making your pick based on your budget is something I definitely recommend.
Yeah. So let's talk about budgeting. Like, what are some things you should consider? Because there's a quite a price range, you know, depending on what you're renting. So what are some things to think about when budgeting for a trip or, you know, an RV share rental?
Yeah. So rentals on RV share range from $50 to like $250 a night. So it really depends on the type of rig. As you can imagine, a small teardrop is going to be a lot cheaper than a diesel Class A. So just looking at what price for the nightly rate, but then also considering that there will be taxes and fees included. And then also there's an added insurance. So luckily with RV share, we have built-in insurance. So you don't have to worry about how you're going to be covered or protected. It does come with an additional fee, but there is then other costs like the mileage I talked about, of course, gas if you'll be driving, and then campground fees or anything like that for where you'll be parking your rig. So it does take a little bit of time to kind of think through how much this will be costing you. And I would just consider that before, you know, taking the plunge and doing a bit of research on that.
I've looked in our area quite a lot because I'm always considering renting my own RV, frankly. So I'm always looking like, okay, what are people renting? And it's also just so interesting to say, like, what are people getting for a teardrop? What are people renting a pop-up camper for? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're out there and you have a family, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're at the high end of that rental price point. If you're in a motorhome, probably yes. But you could rent a pop-up camper for a very reasonable price or a hybrid travel trailer. So there's lots of options. It's not just like smaller RVs are cheap and bigger RVs are expensive. It ranges quite a bit. And I'd encourage everyone out there listening, just for fun, you know, go to RV Share, like put in your zip code or your city, and see, it's so cool to see what is around you in terms of rentals. And it's like, there's times where I'm like, oh my gosh, that person's right in my town and they're renting, you know, I could go rent this. It's right around the block. So it's really cool to see all the different options there. All right, we are going to come back in a second. We have a lot more with Maddie. We are going to really talk about some of the amazing rental experiences she's had, from Big Bend National Park to Grand Tetons to Yellowstone to Hawaii to family reunions. You've kind of had like almost every use case for an RV rental. But before we dive into that really fun content, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Omnia Sweden. The Omnia is a portable stovetop oven that is lightweight, affordable, easy to use, and perfect for your next camping trip. Just pop it on your RV stove, your camp stove, or another heat source, and you will have an instant oven that can make all kinds of delicious food at the campground. If you can do it in a regular oven, heat, bake, or cook, you can do it in an Omnia. The Omnia requires no installation and works with a variety of heat sources to provide a convenient, versatile way to prepare your favorite foods like breads, pizzas, calzones, quiches, muffins, cinnamon rolls, brownies, cakes, and so much more. To learn more about the Omnia and to find great cooking tips and recipes, make sure you visit omniasweden.com. To purchase your own Omnia camping oven and great accessories like cookbooks, carrying cases, and silicone molds, head on over to buyomniaus.com or amazon.com. Make delicious food in the great outdoors this spring with Omnia. Welcome back to the show, Maddie. Thank you so much for giving us those tips for considering the different things we need to consider before, you know, renting from RV Share. Now I want to talk about some of your experiences. And you've done 20 plus trips, so we're not going to talk about all of them, but there have been some pretty epic rental trips here. At the very top of my bucket list and Stephanie's bucket list, Hawaii, Iceland, Alaska. So we're doing Iceland next month. Don't know when we're going to do Alaska and Hawaii, but I'm excited to hear you tell me. How did your camper van rental go in Hawaii? I want all the details. What island? What did you rent? What were the highlights?
Wow, Iceland will be fantastic. But yes, Hawaii was at the top of my list for a long time. And I just thought, how cool will it be to rent an RV in Hawaii? The fact that there are RVs on Hawaii kind of boggles my mind. How'd they get there? Like, that's very cool and very unique experience. On RV Share, you can rent RVs on Hawaii on the Big Island in Maui. Unfortunately, right now, Oahu has some regulations. I think in the past few years they put in place, so we don't have any on Oahu, at least last I checked. But on Maui, there are a handful of RVs available, mostly the camper van class B types that sleep like 2 to 4. And we found this awesome converted van. It was a 2020 Dodge ProMaster, and the couple that owned it kind of did their own build out and with solar power. And it was just a really cool way to travel on Hawaii. So flew into Maui, picked up the RV right outside the airport, and just headed to, you know, local. They actually have Walmart and Costco, and stocked up for our few days. And then went into the national park there and camped in the national park to be able to experience the sunrise at the top of the summit there, which is a huge thing to do in Maui. And so it was really nice to be actually within the gates of the national park and camping within that, because there's people from all over the island that wake up at 4 a.m. to head into the park and get to the top in time. But because you're camping there, it's a pretty easy drive and you're kind of right there in your own backyard. So we did that the first day, and it was just a magical experience. And the national park's amazing. It is crazy because it's a bit chilly compared to the rest of this tropical island, but the altitude is so high. So you got to bring some warmer clothes for that experience. And then our second night, they do have a campground that's on, I think, like the south side, but that was, we went a few months after the fires, unfortunately, so that campground was shut down. But if there were people who were going back to it, that's a great option that welcomes camper vans and RVs. So instead, we went to part of the Hana Highway on the north side of the island and stayed at a hip camp property that this woman was allowing for us to stay on her private farm and on north side of the island. And it was just beautiful, pretty remote. And we really just enjoyed seeing just the vegetation up there and just the, you know, there was no one else around. And then we were at the beginning of the Hana Highway, so we got to go out to the Twin Falls the next morning and get on a hike before most people were there and swim in the falls and stuff. So it was just a really magical experience. And I would highly recommend, you know, camping and RVing in Hawaii.
You're burying the headline here, though. Didn't something other, like some other major thing happen on the Hawaii trip, which kind of makes it pretty awesome?
I know. I definitely am. My fiance actually proposed in the RV rental. We met through working at RV Share. And so RVing and getting engaged in an RV is very on brand for us, I'd say. So yes, we are parked at a beach on the north side, just had the doors of the van open to the beach. And it's one of the beaches that is known for sea turtles. So we're like watching the sea turtles, and he ended up proposing in the van, and it was super sweet. And then we had the beach to ourselves afterwards to walk and celebrate and be very excited. So
that's amazing. That's not just on brand. Yeah. I mean, on brand would be like, oh, we went out to Texas wine country. I mean, you went to Hawaii and did it. I mean, that's got to be one of the best memories ever. I imagine it was a budget-friendly way to do Hawaii too, because from what I understand, you know, the campgrounds, and we've talked about Hawaii on the podcast before with Lauren Eber, you know, camping's a lot cheaper than staying in a resort. And obviously you're paying for the camper van rental, but I still think, you know, combining the camper van rental and the campgrounds, you probably still had a relatively budget-friendly trip, right?
Yes. The national park we had to make a reservation for, but I think it was $5 or something like that, just for the entry fee. And then parking at a hip camp, you know, is like, I think $30 a night or something like that. So it was relatively cheap. And although, sure, you're driving around and RVing, the island itself isn't that big. So I think we filled it up for gas like at the end, and gas is expensive there. But we also saved a lot on cooking in the RV and getting groceries. You know, Hawaii is notorious for high food costs and restaurants being rather expensive. So we just planned ahead and thought out some meals ahead of time. And that saved us a lot of money too.
Now, I'm going to ask you about Yellowstone and Grand Teton, but I want to say something to our audience first. I have had so many RV owners, particularly those with kids, say, oh, I want to get to Yellowstone. I want to get to Teton, but I don't have enough vacation time to get my RV out there. It's, you know, 40 hours of towing, 40 hours away. Stephanie and I have been saying for years, fly in and rent. You know, fly in and rent an RV. You can still, you know, vacation the way you love to vacation. You just have to think of it a little bit differently. And if you work out the costs of flying in and renting an RV, it might not be that much different than, you know, towing particularly a larger RV across the country. So tell us about your Yellowstone and Grand Teton RV share rental trip. Like, you know, what were some highlights? What did you rent? How did that trip go?
Yeah, so we flew into Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City has some great rentals and is a great home base, especially to go north to the Grand Tetons, into Idaho, Yellowstone, et cetera, or south to the Big Four National Park. So I think Salt Lake City is a great place to start a trip. We found a 2019 Winnebago Revel. It had like off-roading wheels and was tricked out with solar power. It also was a van that had a build out that had a shower and toilet, which was a plus for me when staying in a van longer than a few nights, especially when we're going to be boondocking and taking advantage of staying on some BLM land. So having a toilet is especially important for me, which not all of the van build outs do. Of course, some of the bigger models do, but we rented in Salt Lake City from a local guy, and he gave us the walkthrough and just told us about the RV, and then also gave us some great tips of just, you know, what direction to head and where to stay. We had a wedding actually up in Bozeman, Montana, so the goal was to go from Salt Lake to Bozeman, Montana, and back, and stop along the way through the Grand Tetons and Yellowstone, which ended up being an amazing route. And so we camped mostly in BLM land and found a lot of that through just our different camping apps, and looked at what was available. And it was such a cool experience to be within the Grand Tetons. We unfortunately had some cloudy days while we were there, so we didn't see the Tetons as clearly as I wanted. I actually had to go back a year later or so to really get that like blue sky picturesque view. But boy, was it beautiful. And that drive is just stunning. Yellowstone itself, I would actually in both parks really recommend doing a guided like nature tour, because I felt like driving through it ourselves, we just didn't see as much as we did with a guide. And once we kind of did that guided tour, we were kicking ourselves that we didn't book one in Yellowstone, because in the Grand Tetons, you know, we saw a moose and like knew where the bears were active, and they just had all the insights of really seeing that nature really come to life, whereas just driving through it, it's harder to find, I'd say. And then we saw the bison, and just a really amazing experience of just stopping along the way at all of the awesome attractions that Yellowstone has to offer. Up into Montana, and Bozeman, Montana was stunning and an amazing town to spend some time in. And then we routed our way back through Idaho and down back again through Utah to drop off the RV. So it took us about, I think it was an 8 or 9 day road trip.
Did you very specifically want to be boondocking on public land and then sort of searched for the right rental? Or did you sort of find that rental and then go, oh, this rental will let us boondock on public land? Like what was the initial kind of goal there?
I think the goal was to have the RV provide us some flexibility. I've definitely done trips where we've plot out the campground reservations and make sure we can get in. I mean, this trip was in the middle of busy season. We took it in mid-August. And so to find campgrounds ahead of time would have been really important. I think a lot of the ones we were probably looking at in Yellowstone and things like that. I was on some wait lists and we just weren't sure if we were going to be able to get into those campgrounds. We did end up making a handful of reservations, but we also wanted that flexibility to camp on BLM land. I think it's a really enjoyable, cool experience. You're just kind of out there by yourself and get to, you know, experience this like vastness and like on a different level. So it was a mix of both, and it was a really cool way to do that trip.
And you literally found the perfect rental. I mean, for the trip that you went on, I mean, I don't think it would get better than what you're describing. I hate to put you on the spot, but I ask every single person that goes to Yellowstone and Teton this question: which one did you like better? And if you didn't like one better than the other, you're allowed to say that too. But did you have a favorite? I'm always so curious to see what people say.
Yes, I always hesitate to say this as well, but Grand Tetons was my favorite. I think because Yellowstone just has so much hype around it. It's also huge, and there were just so many corners of it that we didn't yet get to experience. So I found myself thinking, like, did we go the right way? Did we see everything we needed to see? Whereas Grand Tetons, again, I think our experience was elevated because we did do a tour there, and I felt like we really just got to check that off our list since we saw what I thought was like most of it. We just really maybe did it better than we did Yellowstone. Yellowstone was just this beast that's really hard to like conquer.
Yellowstone, that's such a great way to put it. It requires multiple trips, and it is just so big. But I liked Teton better. You don't have to like one better. You know, that's not a knock on Yellowstone at all. But you know, like for me, I want to go back to Grand Teton more than I want to go back to Yellowstone, and that's not a knock on Yellowstone. All right, let's go to Texas. And you rented an Airstream for a trip to Big Bend. Was it like a bucket list thing for you to rent an Airstream, or was that just like what you found for the trip to Big Bend?
Oh, yes. So when I first started working at RV Share, you know, kind of what I knew about RV travel was I just thought Airstreams were so cool. Like, they are just stylish. They have this vintage charm. And I had always just wanted to rent an Airstream. And we took this trip, I think, at the beginning of 2021. So it was still COVID times, and people were, still social distancing and all of that. And so an RV trip was definitely a great option for us at the time. And we headed out to West Texas, which is, living in Austin, been on my list for a while. You just always forget, though, how big Texas is, because it's about a 7-hour drive from Austin one way. And we wanted to like have that experience out there. We traveled to Marfa and then also Big Bend National Park, which is still pretty far apart. Marfa was unique at that time because it was still COVID. So we didn't get, I don't think, the full experience there, but we did stay at this cool campground called the Marfa Yacht Club that actually is specifically made for Airstreams. I think they have Airstreams like on site, like stationary ones you can rent. And then if you own an Airstream, you can pull that into one of their spots. So I was like, this is the plan. I'm hooked. We're doing it. So I had recently purchased like a crossover SUV. I have a Volvo. And knew it could tow. Its towing capacity was around the same as the Carvel 22FB travel trailer Airstream. And so we kind of decided that we were going to use my Volvo to pull the Airstream. And it worked out. It was definitely on the cusp of being right on the weight limit. So I don't think I would buy one to tow with my Volvo all the time, because that would probably be pretty bad for my SUV, but it was fine for the, 7-day trip that we took. And we went to pick it up from the RV owner, and I had put a specific hitch on my Volvo, or had to get it put on because they don't naturally come with it. And then I guess the hitch is meant for like a bike rack or something and not for towing an RV. So we actually had to fashion this like extender, and my boyfriend at the time and I like went to Home Depot and found this, and had to like basically just manufacture our own hitch, which luckily the RV owner was like, yeah, looks like it works, like, and he was fine with it and was very chill about our setup, but he was super helpful at just making it work. So we were a bit delayed getting out of that. And I think that was our first experience just having, you know, an RV hiccup that naturally comes with this type of travel. But the rest of the trip was seamless from there. And the drive is just really beautiful.
You're pointing out something very interesting, though, that you know, if you're contemplating buying your first RV, that whole try before you buy or get your feet wet, or like, how much better is it that that happened instead of like you going and buying the Airstream and then realizing like, oh man, my Volvo is not exactly right for this. Like, it's almost like great training for RV ownership too, is to go out and do a couple rentals as well. So tell us about Big Bend.
100%. Yes.
Did you love Big Bend?
Yes, I actually think Big Bend National Park is my favorite park to date. It is just out there. It seems rather empty. It almost feels like another world. Like, we just kept saying, like, did we, you know, teleport to Mars or something? Like, the landscape is incredible. It is just so vast and in a huge space, and the canyons, and just a really, really cool, unique park. And I think that there we also found a campground. I can't remember how we booked it exactly. It could have been a hip camp, or probably hip camp, because it was somebody's like private land. And they had just a bunch of campgrounds really spread out, but the views of the mountains in the distance, the sunsets, but then cannot forget to mention the dark skies there, because Big Bend National Park is a certified dark sky location. And I now understand what that means. It is the most incredible starry night I've ever seen. You can see the Milky Way with your bare eye. I mean, we saw hundreds of shooting stars. It was so captivating. I like barely wanted to go inside. We would just lay outside on a blanket looking at the stars all night. It was incredible. And just a really amazing experience. And then on top of that, that Airstream, my Airstream dreams came alive. The Airstream is a great vehicle. We really enjoyed the layout. And I haven't rented one since, but it's always something I'm looking out for as an experience I want to have again.
Yeah, people that love Big Bend are truly devoted to it. So you said that Big Bend could feel like another planet, but the next experience we're going to talk about is a family reunion, which, depending on your family, can also feel like visiting a foreign planet. You don't need to go into the family dynamics there, but like, how did that work, renting an RV for a family reunion? That's like a really cool idea to me, instead of, you know, staying at a Holiday Inn or something that would be kind of boring. You know, you rent an RV and all of a sudden it's like a really fun, exciting trip. So how did that one work out?
Yeah, so we've done it twice, actually. One time, my parents have a lake house in north of Indianapolis, and so in Indiana, and it has about 3 bedrooms or so, but we wanted to be able to get the larger extended family together. You know, I have siblings that are having kids now, and it just isn't the same when we're all, again, like staying at a hotel and coming to the house during the day or something. So we just wanted to all be on the same, you know, at the same house and the same site. So we had the idea of parking an RV in my parents' front yard. So we had a local owner come and set up. We just did like a 2019 Forest River Wildwood X-Lite, which are actually, I've rented a handful of times, not that exact model, but a travel trail like it. And it's one of the cheaper options. It usually ranges from like $125 to $185 a night. And then maybe you're paying $100 for round trip delivery. So they come and set it up in our front yard, level it. We just actually hooked a generator up to, you know, keep the air on at night, and have some lights going. But it was an awesome way to just have some extra sleeping room.
I mean, that's ideal. Really, because you know, like I'm talking about my family now, not your family. I mean, just you need your separate space at a certain point. And I think it's so nice to be able to like go back to your own place at the end of the day, or just take little breaks. So
yeah,
it just gets hard to all be in the same house by the end of it,
everyone was fighting on who's going to stay in the RV, because everyone wanted to kind of have their own place to escape.
Yeah. And in that case, too, like that kind of like mooch docking scenario where you're just paying for the RV rental, and you're not paying camping fees, it probably costs less than a hotel room. I mean, I don't know the prices of hotel rooms by where you were, but I would assume mm-hmm. you were saving money and closer to the family, but still had privacy. It just couldn't get better to me. I mean, and we now, right. we have 2 30-amp hookups in our driveway so that people can come with their RVs and stay in our driveway as opposed to staying in the house. And it's not because they're not welcome to stay in the house. It's just that, you know, everybody's happier having their own space. Now, the next one I'm jealous about, I have always wanted to rent an RV for a music festival. And my brother has done this a bunch of times. He's not an RV owner or a camper at all, but every year he rents RVs for music festivals. So you did the Stagecoach Music Festival. How did that work? What did you rent? Who played? Who was good? Who disappointed you? Give me all the details.
Yes, we headed to Stagecoach in 2022, I believe. Full disclosure, it was a work opportunity that allowed us to go and stay there. And we are doing a promotion on site, but we had a few spots within the camping area outside the Stagecoach Music Festival. It's always been on my list to go to. I'm a big country fan and was excited to have that experience. And it did not disappoint. There were hundreds of RVs, but well-managed camping areas and easy access to the entrance of the festival. If you've been out to the Indio Valley for any other festivals and you stay off-site, it's a hike to get to the festival. You have to drive and park and walk. And I would say staying on-site was like a 10 times better experience. And so we had a great spot with, a few of those travel trailers that were delivered, you know, the day before we arrived and set up for us. We just brought our belongings and food and snacks and drinks and a cooler and just were ready to go. And so, like I said, we were there to promote RV Share, but also had some opportunity to go in and see the live music and the headliners that year. I think Stagecoach always has a really good lineup. Actually, I've been to other festivals where it can be a hit or miss year to year, but that year is Thomas Rhett, Carrie Underwood, Luke Combs, and I couldn't have asked for really a better lineup. We also saw like Maren Morris and Midland was one that was kind of up and coming at the time that really maybe fall in love with them at that particular festival. But it was a cool experience.
And how great was it to be able to come back to the RV at the end of the day or during the day? Like the family reunion, this is ideal, I think, right?
Yeah, it definitely was. The food at Stagecoach Music Festival just isn't my favorite. Living in Austin, Texas, we also have Austin City Limits, which is a music festival on the same caliber and actually known for its food because they bring in a lot of the Austin restaurants as vendors. So I had high expectations for the food at Stagecoach and it did not live up to it. It was very much just like, you know, a $25 slice of pizza, a $20 burger. And so we actually were so thankful that we had our RV on site with a fridge full of food to go back and make a turkey sandwich and, you know, make some grilled food for dinner. And so we actually really enjoyed that even from the like rest and refuel standpoint of being at a music festival.
It always seems to me, as someone who's always owned travel trailers, doing something like that seems like just a cool way to get the motorhome experience because you're just going and staying. You don't need a dinghy or, you know, a car to drive around and explore the area. You're just parking and hanging out there. Now, you've also had some RVs delivered to a couple different cool locations too. And that's, as we discussed, that's sort of a major option now. Over 40% of people that ran an RV share. So where were some of the places you had RVs delivered?
Yeah, we've done a handful of deliveries actually for friends and family who also want an RV alongside us. We had an RV delivered to the beach in Texas. It was called Whitewater Campground or Blue Water Campground. And it was near Galveston. We were actually going to pull an RV down. I thought this would be a fun thing to mention. My fiance has a Tesla Model Y, and we tried pulling a Forest River R-Pod. It worked, but it was very not efficient. We had to pretty much charge, and it took us probably double, if not triple, the time to get from Austin to the Texas coast, pulling that with the Tesla. But it was kind of an experiment that we want to try out again. Another reason to try before you buy, because that could have been something that we spent a lot of money on and then figured out the Tesla wasn't the right vehicle to pull that at this point in time. But when we did that, we also had friends that wanted to come camping with us. So we had rented them a travel trailer that was actually on the bigger side. So we could use that one to hang out and cook in and play games, because we were pulling a smaller, teardrop with the Tesla. So we had picked that out for them, and the RV owner came down, set it up. He was super helpful and really enjoyed renting his RV on RV Share to just share the experience of his RV. He told us all these different stories he had with his family at the same campground. So it was just another great way to even introduce other people to RVing that wouldn't do it on their own.
And you brought up the EV thing in the try before you buy world. In a year or 2 years, there's going to be a lot more electric RVs, and they're not going to be cheap. And using RV Share to rent a Lightship or a Pebble or whatever is new out there could be a possibility too, right? Before making that, in some cases, six-figure purchase. I mean, I think that's a really cool way to see if you'd want an EV. I mean, that's coming soon too, right?
Yes, that is definitely coming. We have a partnership with Grounded RV. They're an electric manufacturer out of Detroit, and they so far have 4 or 5 rentals on RV Share in the Detroit area to try those out, which are more like the camper van model, but electric. But we have talked and in partnership with other EV manufacturers. So when those come out and become available, they'll definitely be up on RV Share to rent so that people can get their hands on them and try them out and experience that for the first time, which is a really cool opportunity.
Awesome. Any other delivery experiences you want to mention really quickly before we take a break and come back with some more tips for potential renters?
Yeah, another delivery experience I've had is I've really been loving those camping resorts that have become available and just on the market for us all in the last few years. I feel like so many amazing campgrounds have really picked up, and a cool experience here in Texas called Camp Vimfo. They have a location in the Texas Hill Country and also in Waco. And I think if you're a family with kids anywhere between the ages of 5 and 15, man, what a cool experience to be able to have an RV delivered to one of those camping resorts set up. And the site here in Camp Vimfo that I had visited last summer has a water park. It's right on the river. You can float in your tube. You can go hiking. I think they have a zip line. So all those amenities of that true summer camp feeling to have that experience with your family is definitely something I'm looking forward to doing with my family or my extended family, my nieces and nephews, things like that. And so it's also an easy, amazing way to experience something that could even be close to home. You don't have to go very far to have that cool delivery experience to a local campground or state park.
Yeah. And if you're an RV owner and you want to take a vacation with, the cousins or whatever who don't own an RV, they could rent one and come and do the trip with you and share that experience that you love so much. All right, we're going to come back in a second with some final tips from Maddie about, renting RVs from RV Share. Before we do so, we have sponsored messages from our friends at Campco and our friends at Go RVing. Ever wondered if the water you're drinking on your RV adventures is as clean as it should be? Well, worry no more. Introducing Campco's new and improved Taste Pure water filter. It's not just any filter, it's your assurance for pure and great tasting drinking water every time. Taste Pure delivers an advanced 6-step filtration process that goes beyond the basics, yet remains surprisingly affordable. Imagine drinking, cooking, and cleaning with water that's gone through top-of-the-line filtration, giving you peace of mind with every drop. But don't just take our word for it. Over 39,000 RV owners have awarded the Taste Pure water filter a sparkling 5-star rating on Amazon. Camco's Taste Pure not only meets but exceeds industry standards, boasting top-tier certifications that many filters lack. Lead-free, armed with KDF carbon media and compliant with NSF ANSI standards, Taste Pure brings you patented technology from the USA that ensures every sip is refreshingly pure. Don't gamble on your water quality when on the road. Make a smart choice for you and your family with Camco's Taste Pure water filter. Grab yours today at Amazon.com. Go RVing's website, GoRVing.com, is a one-stop resource packed with all of the information you need about every aspect of the RV lifestyle, from RV shopping to trip planning, with expert advice on everything in between. GoRVing.com is packed with incredible stories and tips and tricks that will inspire you to get the most out of your RV and enjoy every second of life at the campground or somewhere far off grid. Click on GoRVing's This Is RVing tab to start your journey and hit the open road. Want to learn more about the different types of RVs? Click on GoRVing's Explore RVs tab to learn more about towable RVs like travel trailers and fifth wheels, and motorized RVs like camper vans or Class A or C motorhomes. If you still need help finding the right RV, GoRVing.com has a fun quiz that will offer you a personalized recommendation based on your family size, your budget, and what kind of adventures you are seeking out in your first or next RV. To find out more about RVing or to find a dealer or a campground near you, head on over to GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Maddie from RV Share, and you have some final, like, just some key things you've learned from all these different types of rentals. So what are some major things you've learned that you want to kind of pass on to our audience as they think about renting RVs or renting their own RV?
I have a few things to share for sure that are helpful and useful tips when renting an RV. So first of all, the owners are super useful and helpful. So making sure to get in contact with them ahead of time, whether that's to ask specific questions about their rig, there is a contact button on our listings to reach out to them even before you move ahead with the booking. Also to reach out to them after you book and just learning more of the ins and outs of their rig and or asking questions about where they would recommend going. I mean, they're experts in their own state or region about campgrounds and how to get reservations and things like that. So I think the owners are really invaluable assets to renting. I'd also, if I was searching for an RV on RV Share, I would be looking for one with reviews. If it has reviews, then at least you know, one, it's an active listing. I mean, a lot of people list their RVs and are extremely, great owners. They respond quickly and we can get it booked. But if they're, you know, maybe not as active, you can tell if they don't have a recent review or something like that. And also, of course, it just tells you what other people have experienced. So just like I would a vacation rental or really anything else you're renting, reviews are, you know, kind of the clue in to what kind of experience you're going to get.
We had great communication with our owners in the few times we've rented, you know, down to the nitty gritty, just making sure that we were bringing everything we needed and checking on what was provided. And in one case, you know, we were renting an RV and we were driving all the way out to Minnesota and had limited room in the truck, and they weren't offering camp chairs, but we actually asked and said, hey, is there any chance you have camp chairs? And they threw in the camp chairs, which was awesome. So that type of back and forth is super, super valuable. So what other tips, what other things should we be expecting or should we think about?
Yes. And I know a lot of people listening probably are, you know, RV enthusiasts and know this, but I think what I tell friends and family and people who have maybe not RV'd before is that this is going to be an extremely unique and like memorable experience. I think RVing is just gives you access to things that you can't get with any other type of accommodation. But that doesn't come without like roughing it. Sure, it's not camping or sleeping on the ground, but you know, there's no turn down or maid service. And so I think like we just always try to, because we really are the gateway to RVing, we get a lot of new people coming to RV Share to rent an RV, stay in an RV for the very first time. So we just try to level set expectations a little bit. You know, this is going to be a unique way to stay. And I think it'll be amazing if you really can lean into that experience. And I think it also comes with just, you know, preparing and packing and planning ahead a bit. It's a bit different than other types of trips. Like, sure, you're packing your suitcase, your belongings, and all of that to bring. But I'm always thinking about, okay, what else do I need to put in the RV? I asked the owner, like, do you have pots and pans, cooking utensils? Do I need to bring, you know, cooking spray or butter? I'll pack maybe some salt and pepper shakers and make sure that we, you know, do a good Walmart run beforehand to get all the food and supplies that we need to have a good experience to stock that RV. If we are traveling from home, like we did for the recent Eclipse trip I took, you know, we brought our own sheets and our own pillows and a blanket from home. We had some camping chairs that were provided for us and a camping table that was so useful because I don't have my own. But just really thinking through what's going to elevate that experience. It's just a bit different than, of course, staying at a hotel or a vacation rental. But I would say it's worth it because it really provides a unique stay.
Now, obviously, a lot of people listening to the show own RVs. Is there anything you would say to them if they're sort of been, oh, maybe I should do this, maybe I should rent, but they're nervous. Is there any advice you'd give somebody who was thinking of renting their RV for the first time?
Yeah, I would say first, we have some great resources on RV Share and RV Share's blog. So if you want to learn more about renting and what that is going to look like, I would head to RV Share and just start poking around, see what else, you know, is listed in your area, what the price points are. We also have a great team called like our booking services team that is helpful on either end. So if you're looking to book an RV, they can help find the right one for you. And if you're having a hard time finding something on RV Share, have questions. But if you're also looking to list your RV, they, you know, can kind of act as a coach and get that RV listing up to date, tell you what the proper pricing could be, how to list other things, like if you'd like to charge to add kayaks to your listing or something like that and add some extra value, but maybe you still want to rent those out for $20 a night or whatever that would look like. They can really walk you through that. I think that talking to other owners that do this, we have a Facebook group that's super helpful, can jump in there and ask any outstanding questions you might have. And I think at the end of the day, a lot of owners find this is a really valuable way to, again, like share that experience with others. About 40%, it might be more than that, more than half of our RV owners actually use renting to like pay off their RV. So a lot of this is going towards, you know, those payments to be able to own one. So if owning's not in your budget and, but you want to, then renting it out could really supplement for that and really make that dream come true. And we've heard that from a lot of owners, which is, it's really cool, thing that, to be able to do.
That is awesome. And I know so many people that rent their RV for that exact reason. And like, they know how many nights a month they need to rent it to cover their payment. And that's their whole plan. Like, that's what they do, basically. I'm so attracted to the idea, to be very frank with my audience here. First of all, I would love to share the experience of camping and RVing with people. And I truly would enjoy renting and helping people go out on those first trips. But we have a garage full of every imaginable piece of camping gear. And I just picture myself having like all these cool packages and add-ons, the Blackstone griddle package, the Weber package, the e-bike package, the kayak package. It just kind of sounds like fun to me. All right, let's just do like a little lightning round wrap up here. What's on your rental bucket list? Like, you obviously you've done so many, you're probably going to do so many more. Like what do you want to do next?
Yeah, so definitely Highway 1. I've road tripped it, but I want to RV it. And then, yeah, north of Highway 1, doing Seattle to Whistler. So right now, RV Share only rents in the U.S., but you can rent, like pick up in Washington and then drive over the border in Canada, and you'd still be properly covered by insurance and all of that. So that's on my list. I also would love to do an international RV trip, looking at New Zealand or Iceland, you said at the top of the the episode, I think that could would be just incredible.
Yeah, if you do the Seattle trip, or I should say when you do your Seattle trip, you gotta go to Olympic National Park. It's my favorite national park in the country. We could talk about that at another time. Okay, would you ever buy an RV and rent it yourself, or do you just really love, you know, renting and trying all these different RVs?
Never say never. I thought like when I first joined RV Share and the pandemic hit that we were going to plunge into buying one. Of course, everyone else had that idea, and that might have been a reason that we didn't end up doing it. But also a reason was we live in Texas. Like I said, Texas is a giant state, and to drive to the destinations we want to get to just requires hours and hours and hours. So we found that works for us is it's really flying to the place we want to be in and renting from there. It's also renting has opened our eyes to all these different experiences and types and makes and make and models that work for us depending on what trip we're trying to have. So I think renting for us in the at least the short term is where we're going to stay, because it just really works for those experiences, and we're having so much fun with it.
I'm kind of like jealous, like when you talk about like the Winnebago you rented in Salt Lake City. Like, I love RVs. Like, I'm an RV nut, mm-hmm. and I want to take a camping trip in a Teardrop. I want to take a camping trip in a Class A, you know, and I can. I mean, I own an RV, but I can still do all those things. And it's been really fun for me. Like, I know personally, because we've rented Class Cs, I know that I'm super comfortable driving a Class C, and I wouldn't hesitate. Mm-hmm. Like, if I found a great price on one, like, I wouldn't be nervous, because I've done it twice. You know, I've done two trips with Class Cs. So Maddie, thank you so much for coming on the RV Atlas. Where can everyone find more information about RV Share and the social media channels? Give us everything.
Yeah, you can visit us at rvshare.com, and then we are on social media at RV Share.
Awesome. Well, promise me you'll come back on the show next summer.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for joining us for the 10th anniversary season of the RV Atlas.
To find out more about the topics discussed on this show, head on over to thervatlas.com.
And to join the friendliest group of RVers, head on over to the RV Atlas group on Facebook, and make sure to join us on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram at the RV Atlas.
And if you enjoy our show, please consider leaving us a review over on iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
And make sure to pick up copies of Where Should We Camp Next, wherever books are sold.
And we will see you at the campground.